Hey, welcome to episode number 305 of the podcast More Than Bread and episode number 13 in our series on the book of Acts. More Than Bread is a podcast that celebrates scripture and flows out of the conviction that we cannot truly live if all we've got is stuff. And we got a lot of stuff in our country today. And we cannot live if all we got is stuff, even bread stuff. We cannot live on stuff alone. We need more than any of the stuff that money can buy, even more than the experiences money can buy. If we want our souls to thrive, we need every word that comes from the mouth of God. So I'm Dan, your host. Like I said in the last episode, I kind of like this introduction. I'm a coffee-loving, sweater vest-wearing pastor who loves the word. And I'm really grateful that you're joining me on this word journey. But although I'm truly grateful for you, can I encourage you, if you find value in these few moments to start or end your day or help you get from one place to another as you drive, then share the podcast with a friend or two so that there are a few more of us. Because in a world that constantly bombards us with shallow sound bites and unfulfilling empty calories, it's my hope that this podcast can become a tiny bit of an oasis for people who crave the satisfying, life-giving food that comes from the bread of life, the word of the living God. And it's my hope that through this, more and more will be introduced to Jesus, that we will know Jesus even better today than we did yesterday. Now, in our last episode, we started looking at one of my favorite miracle stories in the Bible. It's the story of a dancing cripple. And we're going to finish the story in this episode. So if you're ready to listen, I'm ready to read the word and share some thoughts about it. I'm going to start again with Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 20 from the New International Version. And at the end, we'll close out the chapter as we close this episode. Here's what Luke says. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer. It was about 3 in the afternoon. Now, a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful. It was the Beautiful Gate. He was put there every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. And when he saw Peter and John about to enter, now let me just stop here. And these are my words, not scripture. But just imagine this. That probably most of us, most of those of you listening, have had some encounter, a moment where somebody asked you for something, maybe even literally. Somebody sitting on the street, handout. I had one of those encounters just the other day. Somebody, big sign in the parking lot and asking for something. This man who is lame from birth, he's put at the Beautiful Gate. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he held his hand out. He asked them for money. Verse 4, Peter looked straight at him, as did John. And then Peter said, "Look at us. Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Because this is usually how it happened. My words again, usually how it happened was if he could get somebody's attention, if somebody would actually look at him, chances were pretty good he was going to get a gift. So not only are Peter and John looking at him, they stop, they look at him, and they say, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. And then Peter, verse 6, said, "Silver or gold, I don't have. But what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." And taking him by the right hand, he held him up. And instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. And then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. While the man held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished and came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colonnade. And when Peter saw this, he said to them, "Fellow Israelites, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. You handed him over to be killed. You disowned him before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go. You disowned the holy and righteous one and asked that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life. But God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this, and by faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has completely healed him, as you all can see. And now, fellow Israelites, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did your leaders, but this is how God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, saying that his Messiah would suffer. So repent then, turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord, and that he may send the Messiah who has been appointed for you, even Jesus. I love the book of Acts. It's a story. It's the story of the beginning years of our movement, and it's a great book. And every time I read it, I find myself praying, Lord, would you do it again? From individual acts like this to large corporate acts, Lord, would you do it again? Would you help us to be the people who turn the world upside down? And would you let us start with the people just outside our gates? Who are those people for you? You know, the people we pass by every day without really looking, the people who carry maybe their disabilities on the inside, the people who have broken hearts or minds, broken relationships, broken dreams, the people who seem so close, but they're still outside the gates, people in our neighborhoods, in our schools, at work. The question I closed with in the last episode was simply, do we see them? Do we see the people outside our gates? Can you see them? Is there any face, any name that comes to mind? Hidden hurts, crippled hearts, broken relationships, crippling addictions. The problem is we'll never know unless we look. And to be honest, some of us don't want to look because we're afraid that if we look, God is going to ask us to do something. Some of us are hoping that we can turn the world upside down without ever having our lives interrupted. But the story of Peter, John, and this unknown guy, it works on two different levels. It's the story of a guy who couldn't walk. But it's also the story of two guys who had nothing to give until the Spirit came. So listen, if at this very moment, right now, you are painfully aware of the crippled places in your life, in your heart, in your mind, then know this, Jesus sees you even if I don't. And you will never, ever be an interruption to him. So come to him with expectancy, with expectation. Come expecting God to do something. Come to Jesus with hope. I love that last line of verse 5. The lame man looked at them eagerly, expecting a gift. He was expectant. He's gone 14,480 days without having his number one prayer answered. But this day would be different. And you got to ask, why this day? I mean, if God was going to heal him, why not day 4,764? I don't know. I don't. All I know is that one day was different. And it's always too early to quit hoping, always too early to quit asking. Peter and John fixed their gaze on him and even asked him to look at them. So there's this meeting of the eyes, and this guy's got to be thinking, this will be a good one. When I can get them to look me in the eye just before they go into church, I usually get silver or gold. But that's not the best of what we have to offer. Peter said, I don't have any money for you, but I'll give you what I do have. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk. And then Peter took the lame man by the right hand and held him up. And as he did, the man's feet and ankle bones were healed and strengthened. Literally, Peter said, silver and gold, I have none, but I'll give you what I have. Listen, we cannot give what we don't have. You cannot give what you do not have, but you have more than you know. And if you have the Spirit of God, you have more than you know. Jesus once said, whoever believes in me, out of their heart will flow rivers of living water. And by that, he said, what I mean is the Spirit of God, the very living Spirit of God will flow out of your heart. I mean, when you look at yourself in the mirror and nobody else is looking, do you see everything that's wrong, all that's undone, all the places of shame? Or do you see someone within whom lives the amazing, powerful presence of God, the Holy Spirit? If you are a Christ follower right now as you listen to me, the very presence of God, the Spirit of God is in you. What do you see? Do you see your baggage or do you see God's breath? Listen. What you have to give is more than you know. And when you give it, that's when cripples can dance. Listen again to that part of the story in Acts 3, 7 through 11. Then Peter took the lame man by the right hand, helped him up. And as he did, the guy's feet and ankle bones were healed and strengthened. And he jumped up. He stood on his feet. He began to walk and then walking and leaping, dancing, right? Praising God. He went into the temple with him and all the people saw him. And when they realized he was the lame beggar that they had seen so often at the beautiful gate, they were absolutely astounded. Everyone stood there in awe of the wonderful thing that had happened. I mean, can you picture that? Rise up. I mean, he's never even learned to walk, never experienced balance. Fear growing, heart pounding until the decision is taken out of his hands. And hand to hand, this man that he doesn't even know pulls him up as twisted limbs straighten and muscle develops. He steps, he walks, he leaps, he dances, and 40 years of crippled gives way to freedom. 40 years of despair gives way to hope. He's a dancing cripple. And I can just picture him like a little kid for the very first time at Disney World, pulling on the hands of both of his parents, or my little grandson Theo, when he wants to walk around the room and he reaches up to grab both of my fingers. I just imagine this guy, come on, guys, let's go in. And he walked in for the very first time. He danced through the gate into the temple, praising God. And everyone stood in awe of the wonderful thing God had done. Do you understand the cripple place in that man's life became the glory bookmark in the chapter of the story entitled, When the Spirit Was Poured Out? Where are those bookmarks in your life? What has of yet unseen potential bookmarks are there in the lives of people around you? Places of brokenness, external or internal, places of brokenness that when the wholeness comes, they become bookmarks for the glory of God. I mean, do you realize that every broken place in the life of your neighbor, your coworker, your classmate, the kids next door that won't stop bugging you, every broken place is a potential bookmark for glory? Are we praying for the broken people around us? Are we praying that they dance? I'm not asking if you're praying for your own broken places. I know you have some. I know we all have our own broken places. So did Peter and John. But in the midst of your own crippled places, what I'm asking is, are you praying for the broken people around you to dance? Because you know what? When cripples dance, God smiles. And when we pray for those who are broken, even in spite of, in the midst of our own brokenness, man, it is like God listens with bated breath. When people experience and embody the gospel, the good news, God smiles. When people experience the Spirit, God smiles. When people are gripped by great wonder and awe, God smiles. And you know what else happens when cripples dance? People rush to God. In part because they've seen what he has done, but in part because God is who we were made for. God has put a hunger for him in the DNA of our souls. And when the rumors arise that God is in a place, that God is actually in the place, people come. When cripples dance, people rush to God and the gospel comes alive. What does it look like when the gospel comes alive? All of a sudden, it becomes very obvious that something is going on in our hearts and our souls. Jerry Shevlin, the former pastor and one of our conference leaders, he shared a story of a neighborhood turned upside down. While he was a pastor in San Diego, God began to break hearts in his church for people in the community who didn't know Jesus. And as people were willing to step out, God began to open doors to meet very real needs in the lives of the people. And at one point, a group of 20-somethings in his church, they developed this dream of going door to door to identify people's needs so that they could step into real life hurts and opportunities. One day, the leader of the group, Matt, came to Jerry and shared this dream of going door to door. And Jerry said, Matt, I love your heart, but I'm just not sure that going door to door is going to work in this neighborhood. To be honest, it's the kind of place where I'm not sure I want young people standing on the doorsteps. The people in that neighborhood don't really like strangers. Matt wasn't discouraged. He simply said, but Pastor, how will they know we care about them if we don't go and tell them? So they chose a night. On Tuesday nights, they'd go out in pairs and knock on doors in the neighborhoods around the church. And they found out that their pastor was pretty smart. People didn't want to open the doors, didn't even want to talk to him. And then they decided to add prayer to the mix. They formed a prayer team for every visitation team. And those prayer teams would pray for the homes that would be visited that week. That was their job. And you know what? As they added prayer to the process, lo and behold, surprise, surprise, people started opening the doors. And then they started opening their lives. And the prayer team prayed, and the visitation team would knock on a door and say, "We're from that church over there. We believe that God loves to answer prayers. Is there anything we can pray about for you?" And those prayers started relationships. One Wednesday night, Jerry saw a couple at the church that he'd seen before but had never met. So he sat down to talk with them. And as they shared their story, he found out that they were both long-haul truckers, spent most of their lives on the road. Neither one had any interest in religion. Neither one had any interest in church, including Jerry's church. But one evening, they'd just come back from a doctor appointment when they'd been told that she had breast cancer. And all of a sudden, they heard a knock on the door. Their world was crushed. So when these young people showed up on their doorstep, knocking on the door and said, "We believe that God loves to answer prayer. Could we pray for you?" They found themselves opening up and pouring out their hearts. And this team gathered around and prayed for them. God doesn't always work immediately or miraculously. Sometimes it takes 14,000 plus days, but this was their day. In this particular situation, when the couple went back to the doctor that week, they could find no trace of the cancer. You might imagine that couple could hardly wait for the weekend to come so that they could go to church. And they could hardly wait for Jerry to just quit preaching so that they could give their lives to Jesus. God has this amazing way of using the crippled places in our lives to proclaim his goodness and his glory and his power. And all I can say as I think of this man is that with all my heart, I want to dance. Don't you want to dance? Now, I don't know where you have crippled places in your life, but I do know that so often we focus on the crippled external, something physical or circumstantial. And who wouldn't dance if your cancer was healed? But there's an even greater miracle. It's a healing on the inside. It's a wholeness of heart that comes in spite of our circumstances. And that day after God healed that guy, a crowd gathered and Peter explained the gospel in a very simple way. He explained who Jesus is and who we are and what we need to do. And first of all, he said, "This is not me," in verse 12. "Don't look at us like we did this of our own power. We're just dancing cripples like you." No. Verse 16, "The name of Jesus has healed this man. You know how lame he was before. Faith in Jesus' name has caused this healing before your eyes." And the word they use there for healing is the word sozo. In the New Testament, in three different ways, same word, three ways, this word is used. It's used to talk about healing, physical healing. It's used to talk about salvation, spiritual salvation, and deliverance. Physical healing, spiritual salvation, and freedom. So what do we do? They said. So what do we do? What do we do? What do we do? Peter says in verse 19, "Repent. Turn around, change your mind, turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord, that he may send the Messiah to you who has been appointed for you, even Jesus. Heaven must receive him until the time comes for God to restore everything." But he promised this long ago through his prophets. Moses said, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your people. You must listen. You must listen to everything he tells you. And whoever does not listen to him will be completely cut off." Indeed, beginning with Samuel, all the prophets who have spoken and foretold these days that you're in right now, these days that we're in, the last days that are part of our chapter. Those are my words. Verse 25, "You are heirs of the prophets and of the covenant God made with your fathers. He said to Abraham, 'Through your offspring, all peoples on earth will be blessed.' When God raised up his servant, he sent him first to you to bless you by turning each of you from your wicked ways." What should we do? Repent. Turn. Be refreshed. Listen to Jesus. You're an heir of the covenant, heir of the promises of God. Dive into what has been promised for you. Turn from our wicked ways and be a blessing to those around us. And let our broken places become a marker for God's glory. Let me pray for you. Father God, for each and every person listening, I know we all have broken places. We all have crippled places, places where our heart just doesn't work. Places where an emotion has taken over and it just doesn't work. Places where there's anxiety or depression or whatever it is. We have relationships that are broken, and we have thoughts that are broken, desires that are broken. And God, in the midst of our brokenness, what would you bring to mind? Somebody else. Somebody else. Not just us. God, not just our brokenness, but we're going to take a moment and just pray for a person in our neighborhood or in our workplace or in our family, in our classroom, a friend who's experiencing brokenness, and we wish that we could give them the cure, but what we have to give them is Jesus. What we have to give them is the Spirit of God. And so, God, I pray, would you give us an opportunity to give them the Spirit of God that they might dance, that people might rush to you. God, what you did then, would you do again in us and through us? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.